What we do here is when we read the scripture, the main passage, I always ask people to stand when we read the scripture. The reason I do that is because we really believe that this is God's word, and it's that important. That when the Lord God speaks to us and we believe that when we read his word, he was writing it so that he would communicate to us. And so we stand, we read it, and at the end of that, I always say, this is the word of the Lord, and people in the audience who are believers will say, thanks be to God, because we're thanking the Lord for actually speaking to us. So with that, if you got your Bibles, open up and stand up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says this, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay.'" Verse 7, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I don't know if you've ever experienced a situation in your life. Maybe there is a scenario where people have tried to get you to do something. They've explained how wonderful it is, but you have an expectation of it, and you're like going, no, I don't want to do that. Nope. I mean, I've had one like that for my entire life. I'm a traveler. I love to travel. Love to travel, all right? In February, Amy and I did something that we've never done before because I'm like a skeptic. No, I ain't getting in. I'm not doing this. We were encouraged to take a cruise. Never been on a cruise before. I'm one of these guys that's kind of a germaphobe. Like, you mean there's a buffet where I'm going to go eat and people are going to be standing over the buffet? What if they cough on my food? I'm going to have to hold the handrail going down, everybody, all these thousands of people all on the ship. We're going to be in this tiny little room. Are you kidding me? It's going to be so small. I'm not going to have a window. I don't have the money to get a window or a balcony. I'm going to be sitting in this little room. Y'all have seen Titanic, right? You know what happens on these boats. Well, I want to tell you, in February, Amy and I went, and I'm like a cruise evangelist now, you know? I'm like the 16-year-old who just got their driver's license and is sitting in the back seat trying to tell their dad how to drive. Listen, I've been on a cruise. You want to know anything about it? You come and see me, all right? This passage, though, is very, there's a principle. That whole principle still is in this passage because it says that there were some ladies, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. It says they were going to the tomb of Jesus. And why were they going to the tomb of Jesus? Because they had seen him crucified 3 days earlier. They saw his body beaten. They saw him take the crossbeam to Calvary. They saw him put on that cross. They stood there. These are the same ladies who had traveled with him for 3 years. They saw him teach. They heard him teach like no other. It says he had an authority unlike any of the others, the great teachers. They watched him heal the sick people. They watched him feed 5,000 people. Upwards to 15,000 people. They saw the demons flee at his voice and his command. And they were also the same ladies who were at the cross when he was buried, when he was crucified. These are the same ladies that ended up going to the tomb for his rushed burial on the night that he was buried because it was the day before the Sabbath, and all they could do was wrap him up and put him in. These are those same ladies, and the scripture says that they went to the tomb. You see, they went expecting something. You know what they went expecting? They went expecting to find their dead friend. The scripture tells us, if you read in the other gospel accounts, that they were taking spices with them, because what you would do in that day is you would wrap their bodies in cloths, and then you would anoint their bodies and put them in a tomb. You see, because of the rushed funeral, they did not get to anoint his body. So the spices were there to kind of tamp down the smell of the decay of death. You see, this is what they were doing. They also knew, and they had an expectation, that when we get there, there's going to be a big stone, because they knew and they saw that there was a stone that had been rolled across the grave, because the Pharisees, the one who put Jesus to death, the ones who wanted him crucified, they thought that the disciples, those who followed Jesus, at some point they're going to come and they're going to steal the body, and they're going to say, he's risen again. So they said, they went to the Roman authorities and said, could we seal the tomb? They put a seal across it. Could you put guards there? Because we don't want anything to happen. You see, this is what they were expecting. This was their plan. In fact, they had even made provisions. They bought stuff, and they were going in that direction. But notice what verse 2 says. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says that there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Here's what we don't know as you look through. We don't know necessarily, was the earthquake prior and it woke them up and they were going? Because it says they went before dawn. That means it was dark, all right? That first Sunday, the Sunday after his crucifixion. Maybe the earthquake happened as they were going. Maybe it was right as they walked up and the earthquake happened. But what we do know is that that earthquake happened, the angel descended, the stone was rolled away, and what they expected to see was one dead friend, Jesus. And in reality, they got something completely different. They had guards, it says, that were fell out as if they were dead. The guards had one job alone, and they failed. They saw the angel, and they passed out as if they were dead. And then the angel speaks to the ladies. Look at verse 5. Look at what it says in verse 5 and 6. This right here is the center of who we are as followers of Jesus. This is why we're here today. Verse 5 and 6 say this: do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said he would. And I want you to underline this last phrase: come see the place where he lay. You know why they wanted to see where the place where he lay? Because he's not laying there anymore. There's a premise here. The tomb is empty. And because the tomb is empty, everything changes. Because the tomb is empty, I want to say this: your life doesn't have to be. Your life does not have to be empty. The scripture tells us they were stunned. It says they were afraid. They were very afraid. And the angel has the understatement of the year. The angel says, don't be afraid. Now, wait a minute. If I had gone to the tomb, to the graveside, maybe some of you have lost a loved one here recently. Maybe some of you have, there is a loved one that you have lost. If you went to his grave, her graveside, to see them, to remember, expecting this is where they're going to be, but it's opened and there's nobody and there's nothing there, would you not be afraid? Yes, you would. You would be stunned. Because your expectation was you were going to see them. And that they were shaken to the core, the scripture says. You see, they came expecting to see something. And he wasn't there. Why? Because scripture tells us that he is alive. The scripture, the angel said, he's risen just as he told you he would do. He is alive. And so because he's alive, everything changes. Notice what in verse 6 there, what that angel says. The angel says, come in and look. I want you to see it. In fact, in our vernacular, it would be, hey, can you stop just a moment? Don't rush. Listen, you're probably trying to get this done so you can go to breakfast. You're probably trying to get this done so you can head out to lunch with your family. Slow down. I want you, basically, he says, come and see this. Come and see. I want you to come in. I want you to be able to look at it. I want you to be able to touch it. I want you to be able to sense it, to smell it. I want you to be able to see the grave clothes. They're no longer there. They're just crumpled up. In the Gospel of John, it says that Jesus, that the face cloth that had been covering the face of Jesus had been folded up nicely and left. He said, I want you to see it. Church, I want to say to you, whether you are a convictionist, you're a skeptic, you're an obligationist, listen, whatever it is, when you encounter the empty tomb, you cannot leave the same. You have to leave changed. And this is why he's brought you here today. Because you're going to have to encounter the risen Lord. And in the midst of this, right now, he's speaking to some of you in here. Listen, here's what we know to be a fact. Or let me say this, what I know to be a fact is that Jesus is not in the tomb anymore. He is alive. He is reigning today. And because the tomb is empty, that means he is the bread of life. That means he is the living water. Because the tomb is empty and he's alive, that does mean that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Because he is alive today, that means the king is on his throne. And some of you in here today, you've come with all kinds of things that you're carrying. Some of you have walked in here today and you have a marriage that you feel like is dead. And I want to say to you, because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive, your marriage can be resurrected today. Some of you come in here today and you're struggling with all kinds of addictions. It could be porn, it could be pills, it could be drink, it could be gambling. All of these things that you're trying to fill an empty life with, but I want to say to you, because the tomb is empty today, because he has risen, your life no longer has to be empty. All of the things you try to fill, all the things we try to fill our lives with are going to leave us empty. But because he's alive, because the tomb is empty, we can have life, full, free, abundant life. Notice what happened with these ladies. I said a moment ago that they had to leave changed. They could never be the same. Notice what it said in verse 8. Verse 8, the angel said to them, I want you to go. It describes them as being in great fear and joy. Listen, they're fearful because, man, I'm shaken. There's an earthquake. I've seen an angel. He's given me these instructions. Joy now because the king is alive. Jesus is alive. He's no longer here. And the angel says, I want you to go and tell his disciples. You need to go tell them. You need to do this. So here they go in the midst of this. And verse 9 says that they're going. And as they're going, even in the midst of their great fear, as they're going, even as they're obeying the one sent from God himself, the angel of the Lord. As they're going, did you notice who they met along the way? It says they've met Jesus. Jesus found them. Believers in the room, those of you who have surrendered your life to Jesus, those of you who have submitted your life to Jesus, we believe his word is true and right. It is from him. It is the words of life. And oftentimes, if you're like me, when I read his word, there are things in there that cut me. And you want me to do what? I need to do what? I sense from him. He wants me to do something. And there is a fear or an anxiousness that can arise within me. Maybe that would be you also. But what we see from this story is that these ladies, in the midst of their great fear, they obeyed the word that came to them from the Lord. And in the midst of their obeying, in the middle of their fear, Jesus met them. To those of us in here who have surrendered our lives to Christ, I want to say to you, that is true for us today too. You know, when the Lord speaks to you through his word, you have an impression in your spirit, this is what the Lord is desiring to do. This is what he wants me to do. There can be a fear, an anxiety. You know, I need to obey. What do I do? I want to promise you something, that when you obey the voice of the Lord, when you obey the word of the Lord meets you in that moment. And when he meets you in that moment, the same thing will happen that happened with these ladies. You'll worship him. You'll worship him. And what he always does is he reassures you at your greatest point of need at that moment. He said to those ladies this. He said, don't be afraid. They were afraid. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You continue on. Go tell my brothers. Go tell my brothers. Folks, when you obey the voice of the Lord, when you obey his word, he meets us, he encourages us, and he sends us on with a good word. A good, good word. You see, they could never be the same. Everything, they couldn't look and see this and walk away and just keep going about their day. Everything changed for them. What about the brothers they went to go see, the disciples? As you read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they see the disciples. And John, as you read in John, the ladies come and they look at Jesus. They when they get to the upper room, they start telling. I think it's in Luke that this part of the story happens. The disciples look around at each other and think, I think they're crazy. It says they thought this was idle talk. He's alive? They really? I think something's not right here. But the scripture goes on to tell us that Peter and John, they got up and they ran to the tomb. They took off running to the tomb. This is the same Peter that we studied about 3 weeks ago who said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God, you're the Messiah. This is the same Peter and John who were with Jesus on the Transfiguration Mount when they saw him change physically with Moses and Elijah. This is the same Peter who 3 nights prior looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, I'll die for you. And Jesus said, you're right, you will die for me. But tonight, you'll deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. This is the same Peter. And yet here he is running to the tomb. His life was so changed because of the empty tomb. His life was so changed that a couple of books later in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, he stands up in the middle of Jerusalem 40 days after this crucifixion, after this resurrection, and he proclaims a gospel and 3,000 people come into the kingdom. This is the same Peter that history tells us when Jesus said, yeah, you're right, you will die for me one day. They were going to crucify him in Rome, and he said, I can't be crucified as my Lord and Savior was. So what they did is they crucified him upside down. This is the same John. This is the exact same John whose life was changed forever, who was willing because of the gospel of Jesus, because when he looked in and he peered and he saw there's no one there, he's not there. He was willing to be exiled because he wouldn't shut up about his faith. He, history tells us, was dipped into a pot of boiling oil and it didn't kill him. He is the same one who lived to old age in Ephesus, pastoring and preaching, leading. His life was changed. And church, I want to say this to you. I don't think the angel came to roll the stone just so Jesus could walk out. You realize Jesus is God. He could get out any way he needed. He didn't need someone to roll it out, but he did. That stone rolled away. Do you know why I think, one of the reasons I think that stone was rolled away was so those ladies could peer in and they could see for themselves, so that Peter and John, when they ran and they stooped and they looked in, that they could see, so that today you and I would have a testimony that the tomb is empty. And because the tomb is empty, your life doesn't have to be. Because the tomb is empty, everything changed for them. And I say to you and I today, because the tomb is empty, everything changes for you and I today. Everything is different because He is alive. Aren't you glad the tomb is empty? Oh, really? Aren't you glad the tomb is empty today? Yes, because He is alive. I read a story this week about a kindergarten classroom. And the teacher gave an assignment. And the assignment was this. The teacher asked them to take these eggs. They were oversized eggs, the kind you can break apart and open up. Not real ones, the plastic ones. And they said, what I want you to do, she gave one to every kid in the class, 17 of them, and said, I want you to go home tonight. I want you to talk to your parents, and I want you to find something that symbolizes life. I want you to put it in there. Bring it back. The next morning, 17 eggs came back. They were all set out, and they began to open them up. The teacher went around to the first little girl, took her egg, opened it up and began to look at it, and blades of grass, fresh green grass, fell out everywhere. And the little girl said, it's springtime. This is life. There's new life coming to the earth. Everybody kind of laughed and clapped and everything. Went to the next kid, a little boy, and she opened up his, and what is that morning a dead butterfly. It was a live butterfly the day prior, mangled at this point. But everyone kind of laughed. He went, it's a butterfly. It's new life. It's change. Caterpillar to butterfly. She did that several more times and got to one little boy and opened up his egg. And when she opened it up, there was nothing in it. Remember, we're talking about kindergartners now. They're laughing at the kid. And the teacher's trying to get them quiet. And the little boy, the teacher looks at the little boy and says, Why did you not have anything in it? Did you not do? He said, no, I did what you asked. I went and talked to my dad, and my daddy told me that because Jesus' tomb is empty, there's more life from an empty tomb than anything I could ever put in here. She shook her head. Cute little story. It is true, by the way. There's more life in an empty tomb than anything you could ever put in an egg. Love the little story. But you know what I think? I think you and I are much like all the other kids. We run around all the time trying to find things we think are going to bring life. They're going to fill our lives, and we start packing it in. For some, it's money. For others, it's possessions and materialism. The next thing, you know, the thing I just got 2 years ago, there's a new one coming out this year. You need to get that one because it's going to make life better. It's going to change things. It could be, as I said earlier, it could be sex, pornography. It could be a new spouse, you think. It could be drinks. It could be drugs. It could be gambling. It could be any amount of things that are going to bring pleasure to you, you think. But you know what always ends up happening in these times? We begin to fill those things into our lives, and like that, the pleasure is over. And we try to put more, or we try to find new things that are going to bring life. But I want to say to you, really clearly, nothing you put in your life is going to fill it up except the one who gave his life for you and me. Jesus Christ, he's the only one. And today, you've come, maybe, just maybe, you came and you had an expectation. We're going to sing a few songs. People are going to be in pastels. There may be some nice coffee out there. We're going to see some fun. I'm going to get some pictures made, and then I'm going to go eat lunch and go take a nap. But somewhere along the way, what you planned, the Holy Spirit has interrupted now. And because he's interrupted it, everything can change today for you. You may know the name of Jesus, but maybe you've never experienced him as your Lord and Savior. There's never been a time maybe where you surrendered your life to him as your Lord and Savior. You see what Jesus did for you and me? The Bible tells us that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to this earth. That he came and he lived a perfect life. And we would think if somebody lived in perfection, listen, if you get a 10 on the balance beam, people are going crazy. This man, the Son of God, lived perfect life. And it didn't get him applause. It got him ridiculed and scorned and scourged. And it got him death on a cross. He was put into a tomb that, praise God, today we celebrate as being empty. He is alive, just as all of Scripture has said. Everything pointed to that. Not only is he alive, this Bible tells us that 40 days later, he ascended back to the Father and today is there praying. The Scripture calls it interceding. He's praying on our behalf. So right now today, those of you in here, no matter why you came, no matter why you're here, he's interceding that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. And what may be an empty life could be a full life today if you would surrender your life to Jesus Christ as Savior. In this room also, there are folks who have already submitted their life to Christ. I look around and I know many of you. What would that mean? What does this Easter have for me? Listen, I've surrendered my life. I celebrate the empty tomb. Well, maybe for you, it's exactly what the angel said to the ladies. Don't be afraid. Go tell someone. Because if Jesus has changed your life, listen, their whole lives were different. Their whole lives were different because they experienced the empty tomb. And if you've experienced the empty tomb, your life is filled now by the power of the Spirit. And now we go and tell about the one who brings life into dead beings. And I just want to say this to you. I believe that. I believe that. And I believe today he wants to change you. Father, I love you and I honor you. I thank you, God, for us being able to gather today. And the reason we can gather is because you're alive. And because you're alive, everything changes. I would ask today that you would take empty lives and that you would fill them today with salvation. I ask today that you would take lives that are fearful and that you would encourage us as believers to go and share. And I'm thankful that as we do, you're going to meet us there in the midst of that and walk with us. God, you bring purpose. You bring healing. You bring wholeness. And I'm asking today, would you bring salvation? For it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen.